Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Joe, thanks so much. His wife Lindy isn't here tonight, but thanks for coming to minister to us. Thank you for being a part of the body of Christ and blessing us. And we just want to honor you for going for God. And your testimony, your life speaks of a real hunger and a thirst for God. Dankie vir wie jy is. Nie net vir die feit dat jy kan sing nie, maar ons eer jou en ons bless jou. Thanks for taking all the time to be here with us. I know it's a massive effort and most people would just go home and say, hey, I've finished what I needed to do. But thanks for blessing us and all these young people. We're looking towards role models like you in the Christian life and in South Africa. So let's put our hands together as he's going to minister to us.
Thank you, Sias. It's a privilege to be here. Sias is very, very highly regarded and probably the person with the biggest power to weight ratio that I know. So it's a privilege to be here. Thank you for having me. I want to start off by saying that it's a very definitive time in the history of this nation. Everyone can feel it. And things are shaking and things are coming loose. I had the privilege of being hosted at Parliament on Friday for lunch, and I had the privilege of praying in the main chamber. And you know, we as Christians have the benefit of having a long view. Our Savior came 2,000 years ago, and through the Word we get to see nations rise and nations fall. And I haven't yet seen a nation that wins well. There's nobody that wins well. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm looking at a generation that will one day lead this country. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? Why is it that you are studying what you study? Is it because you want to have a secure future? Is it because you have a passion? Is it because you want to make a lot of money? What is your why? I'm incredibly excited about what is coming. And I don't think that Parliament is as relevant as the people on the ground. I think, and it feels ironic, and I wouldn't have out of kindness mentioned it on Friday, but I really believe that God is on the move in our country. And we have a lot of people that are trying their utmost to divide us. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And if ever our country needs a blessing, it is now. So I want to ask you to, as you go home over this holidays, to bring positivity into your families. To not keep quiet. I know how it is when you're between family and people start getting... It's so easy to be negative. You don't need anything to be negative. It's very easy. And Dad Angus always says, you know, people are so negative, the devil is out of work. And I want to ask you to trust God in you. And to have the courage to say, you know what? Yes, there's problems, but Look at what's coming. Look at what's coming. I want to sing this song over you, and when I wrote it in a cathedral in Pretoria, I asked the Lord to give me something that will set people's hearts on fire for Him, and I hope it'll do it for you.
This earth with broken feet, my Lord, I have searched for You. I found myself in Your
been on a sabbatical for this entire year, and it ended in October, so I've been doing nothing. And it was a, if you told me I would have had 9 months of holiday, it just sounded fantastic and a wonderful time to spend with my family, and it came with its own challenges. But one of the things that I've worked through in this time is that I think there is a part of worship that we've somehow left behind. And it might sound strange, but it has to do with anger, and it has to do with feeling deserted, and it has to do with disappointment and rage. When you come to the altar and the Lord says you remember somebody that has ought against you, wait with the worship and go fix it with them. Now that's a very high standard, and I've complained to the Lord about that standard, because how can it be right that if somebody has something against you, you have to go and fix it? Isn't it their responsibility? I mean, if it was something I had against them, I could understand that. And then the Lord showed me that if I have anger in my heart, if I have disappointment in my heart, and I try and hide that, and I come to worship Him, He doesn't have all of me. And I must admit, as a father of two incredibly beautiful young boys, in a country where there is such total disregard for life, I have found myself yearning for the God of the Old Testament. A God that would just wipe people off the face of the earth. A God of justice. A God of righteousness. And what do you do with that? God showed me that it is impossible for me to worship Him if I can't deal with my emotions. Because there's no point in hiding it. He knows about it. And in this process, God has shown me that not only do I need to lay it down, but in the laying down of it, that is worship as well. That if I am, the only difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the only difference between God in the Old Testament and the New Testament is Jesus. God is not any less righteous. But He has poured it onto the head of Jesus, and Jesus sustained it for all of us. But the other side of that coin is that I then need to go to Jesus and sacrifice my right to revenge. I have to lay down my anger and say to Him, Lord, You have paid the price. You have paid for this. I lay down my right to my revenge. When Peter lobbed off the servant's ear that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when they came to arrest Jesus, nobody went to him and said, Peter, thanks for that ear that you won for the kingdom. He didn't even get to keep it. Jesus promptly returned it to its owner. Our right to stand up, even for our faith, if it's not submitted to Jesus, can put us at odds with Him. And in a town like this, I'm sure you get confronted a lot with people that don't share your beliefs. We are the custodians of our doctrine. But we are not called to defend Jesus. You don't have to get embroiled in every debate. You don't have to have the answer for every question. Yes, you should be able to explain to people why you believe what you believe. I firmly believe in that. But you don't need to be pulled into every conversation. What we need is love. We need love for ourselves. We need love for other people. And if hate and fear and a feeling of being deserted and alone and vulnerable gets in the way of that, you can't do it. So I want to ask you tonight to, with the fear that is reasonable, I don't think it's unreasonable to be fearful. If I had a daughter in any campus in the country, I'd be on my knees all the time. And sometimes I think we get confused between faith and the reality of our belief. It's okay to feel those things. Much better than trying to hide it and just kind of gloss it over with positivity and faith. God wants you to raise it with Him. He wants it to take it away from you. He wants you to be liberated from it. But He will not take anything from you that you don't offer up. We as Christians have nothing to offer anybody else if we can't be honest with God about how we feel. So if you're scared, if you're angry, if you have hate in your heart, don't try and hide it. Admit it to God. Let Him free you of it. The word shalom in Hebrew, we know it as peace, but it means to have the head of your enemy under your heel. You have nothing in you out of your own strength to fight the enemy with. But Jesus, Jesus has already done it. This is not a case of balance between dark and light. It's not a yin-yang situation. There is no contest. There is no contest. But you need to receive it through surrender. I want to sing words to you that were written 4,000 years about ago. And I want to encourage you to, while I sing, I want you to ask the Lord to please reveal feelings and emotions that you might even not be aware of. Ask Him to show you what it is that He wants you to sacrifice. Because He wants to make you free. He wants you blazing with confidence in Him. He wants you to shine your light. He wants there to be nothing between you and Him. Ask him to show it, because we'll ask him to take it away once he's identified it for us.
The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He rests me in green meadows. Beside peaceful streams, herein is my strength to honor his name.
I never understood why Jesus said that he came for the sick. I was like, what about the healthy people? The truth is, there are no healthy people. They're only people that pretend. If you know you're broken, you know that you need a healer. If you know you're broken, you know you need somebody to fix you. And I want to invite you. Is there anybody that that feels like the Lord showed them something that they need to lay down? One half-hearted person, Almost half full. Come on, go for a full straight. Yes. I feel like when I look at people, they put their arms up.
Hey.
No, don't drop it. Yes. Okay, everyone at once, please. Okay. So I want to pray for you. And the prayer will apply to you even if you didn't lift your hand. Lord, thank you that you love us more than we can understand. Thank you that you've already paid the price, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for clarity. Lord, in the mess that we find ourselves in as humans, but also in this time in this country, Lord, I pray that you will bring clarity between good and evil. Lord, I pray that you will give us confidence in you, Lord. We know that you are all-powerful. We know that you are all-good. We also know that there is evil in this world, Lord. I pray that you will separate for every single person here the difference between your will and what's happening. Lord, I pray that where there is fear, where there is confusion about how it could be that you are all powerful and all good and still all these atrocities are happening, Lord. I pray that you will shine your light, Lord, and that we will lay down whatever it is we need to lay down to be in your corner, to see it through your eyes, to not for a moment doubt how you feel about us, to not for a moment doubt that you haven't forgotten about us, Lord. We know that none of us are getting out of here alive. But we trust you, and we love you, and we ask that you will make us pillars of light, that you will give us courage, that you will take away our fear. We know that you are the only one worthy of fear. In Jesus' name, amen. I just got a 10 rating. I have a 19-month-old. And we've got a pool, so I wanted us to, as soon as possible, get him swimming. So if there's an accident and he is somehow falls into the water, that he can help himself. So when he was about 13, 14 months, we took him. I found this lady that does survival courses for infants and for babies. In the water. Yeah. Bear Grylls Jr. I know how that sounds, but this is real. So what they do is when we went to speak to her, he was about 6 months old, and she said, just don't ever put any flotation devices on him because it'll teach him to relax when he gets into the water. And they wanted to use his survival instinct to kind of kick in and teach him. So they literally teach them how to go onto their backs, how to float, how to breathe, and to cry out for help, and then also to turn around and actually look underwater and swim towards an exit. And then if they get tired, they turn on their back, they breathe until they're stable again, and then they go. And I feel like you guys don't believe me. This is all true. I have no reason to lie about this. I made the mistake of my wife had the flu, and I said, no, I'll take him to one of the lessons. And I sat there, and the next moment, they just leave him, and he goes underwater. Now, you can only chuckle about that if you do not have a child, because I immediately, my heart went from do-do-do-do-do like frrrr. And so now they're trying to help him to turn around, to get breath, but he is just freaking out. He doesn't understand what's going on. And the next moment, they pull him up just a little bit, and instead of breathing, he just screams, and he catches my eye. And I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm supposed to have like a calming smile on my face, or and then he just goes underwater again. And it was the most heartbreaking thing to see my boy's face, like just trying to find me and going like, I'm drowning. These people are killing me and you're doing nothing. It was heartbreaking. I started praying out loud because the only thing I wanted to do was jump in the pool, punch everyone in the face, and take my boy home. But I knew that if I intervened, it would set him back. And I was just praying, saying, Lord, please help my boy. Please help my boy. And I actually took a video of it. Like, eventually you can see, I'm like, I want to put the phone down. I'm like, it was terrible. And the Lord showed me through that in the days after that sometimes I feel like he's not there. In fact, worse, I feel like he can see me and he's not bothered to help me. That I'm struggling. I feel like I'm not going to make it. I'm dying. And he seems indifferent. But the only reason he would allow that is because he needs me to gain a skill that he knows later on I'll need for survival. If you're feeling like you don't know how you're going to make it, or you're not sure where God is, or he's quiet, or he seems aloof, or you used to feel him and you don't feel him anymore, just hold on. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's not a man that he would lie. I had a very conflicting emotion the next day because I said to my wife, "You're taking him," because I can't go through that again. And she called me right after the lesson and said, "He's Olympic." The next day, he was floating, he was kicking, he was just perfect. And I didn't know whether I would be, whether I should just be elated that he's getting it, or really angry that I got such a bum day to go. I want to do my final song, and I want to say that fear is sacred. There's no end to the fear-mongering going on. And the reason people are trying to make you afraid, the reason the enemy is working through people to try and scare you, is because it's so important. Fear is so important. It's sacred. It is set apart. You are supposed to fear God. And I've had many conversations with people that have been walking a long road with the Lord and say, "I refuse to fear God because, or to be scared of God because he's my daddy." But that's a misunderstanding of what it's about. Whenever you fear something, you give it the legal right to rule over you. That's how bullies work. If they can just scare you, they can control you. There's a spiritual transaction that happens. Somebody told me that the word says, "Fear the Lord your God," like 365 times. Like once for each day. And it's not because he wants to scare you, really. I mean, we couldn't even survive seeing him in his full glory right now. He has no interest in that. The reason he wants you to fear him is so that you can give him the legal right to rule over you. Because if you are in his kingdom, he provides for you. He keeps you safe. He gives you peace. He gives you everything you need, like he's always wanted to do. Don't spend your fear in the wrong place. It's a dirty trick to enslave you. And you were not created to be a slave.
Tienduizend hier langs mij.
is by die hoogste. Alles veilig in die hand. Buiten die bereik van die vijand en sy machte, omring deur engele aan elke kant. Want U laat my dra veilig oor alles wat verskeer vergiftig. U vergrys elke aanval wat op my gerig is. Ek sal nie bang is nie vir die oorlog in die nacht of verwoesting in die dag. Ek sal nie bang is nie of alle duisends aan my sy of die duisends hier langs my.
Thank you, Joe. And let's just pray for him and also that God will bless him in this season. Father, we thank you for Joe. We thank you, Lord, for his life, for him, for his wife, Lindy, for his two sons. That we ask that you bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. Thank you, Father, just for a season of your favor, a season, Lord, to turn hearts back to you. Thank you, a season, Lord, that hardened hearts will become soft. And Lord, it will crumble, Lord. Thank you for, I just sense a season, Lord, where you will lead many people to circumcise their hearts wholly unto you, Lord, to bring you an offering of worship. Lord, to turn people back to that place with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Joe. We're going to just end the evening with one scripture that we're going to read together in Acts chapter 4. And I trust they have it on there. And this is in the circumstance of Peter and the disciples that were going out. And there was so much persecution. The disciples, they weren't in an easy place. And then God did this miracle by healing this man. And so in Acts 4, it's sort of the guys are all surrounded and there's a lot of stuff and that's been happening. And the religious leaders, they are especially intense because remember, even in Jesus' time, the Romans were ruling over Jerusalem. And they were so afraid, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't want anything out of the ordinary. And so here God healed this man, and so now the accusation comes, and there's a lot of people talking about things. But here in Acts 4 verse 12, it's sort of in the middle, we jump in and says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." What is scripture? There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under the heavens given among men by which we must be saved. Just the next verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common, untrained men, some translation says, they were astonished and they realized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they saw the boldness of Peter and these guys, and they saw this miracle. They saw the man that was healed there, and Scripture says the one thing they realized, they weren't amazed just by the miracle, but they said that one thing they realized through these men is that they have been with Jesus. It's time for the church to arise in South Africa. It's time for the church to stand up because many people are going to start to look for how do we get saved. Our salvation doesn't lie in politicians, not in a better police system, not in anything else, but in the name of Jesus. In no other name. That's the name that's recognized in heaven. And that's the name that you and I must call out every day. That's the name that will be worshipped in heaven. You know, your name is not going to be mentioned in heaven. My name is not going to be mentioned in heaven. Only the name of Jesus. There's only one name. And so we see this moment of sort of everybody says, look, yeah, we're not going to take these guys to court anymore. We're not, because not just do we see the miracle, but we see where the miracle comes from. It's not from him. It's not from her. It's not from Peter. It's not from John. It's not from the disciples. We realize the source is that they've been with Jesus. It's time for the church to be with Jesus. It's time for us to make sure that he rubs off on us. It's time for us to spend time in his word. And especially if you're here, if you're going away on holidays, get into the word. Be with Jesus. So when you come out of that place, they will recognize that you've been with Jesus. Your family that sometimes will oppose you. Sometimes people that don't like Christians anymore, don't like Christianity. They cannot ignore somebody that's been with Jesus. And there's a boldness that comes with by being with Jesus. Not a boldness just to do miracles, because that's where what happened here. But God is calling us to fear him. Like Joe said, God is calling us to fear him. And the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. These days, if you, and I've got lots of respect for the charismatic church, but don't run after power. Don't run after grace. Run after the fear of God. Because that's the generation God is raising up. So the challenge is where is your relationship with God today? You see, if you need a savior, if you need salvation, if you're going to, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody drowning. Joe almost saw his son, but if you see somebody at sea, and I've seen somebody that was going under, but you don't see somebody floating around that's busy drowning. They actually say when you want to go and rescue somebody, you must leave them until they become unconscious, because that person is so intense that when you swim out, they're going to drag you under. So leave them or hit them that they become unconscious and then you drag them out, you know. Because they're panicking. They're realizing the state that they're in. If somebody doesn't come to save them, they're doomed for destruction. If somebody doesn't save our nation, we are doomed for destruction. But there is one that can save our nation. There's one that can save you tonight. and that is Jesus. And so the challenge is, do you know the state that you're in? Or are you trying to add Jesus? Voeg ek Jesus net by? Say, oh Lord, come and bless me because, you know, I'm actually okay. I'm doing this church thing, it's very nice. But no, the state of your life, if you're without Christ, if you have not been blood washed by the Lamb, means you are doomed for destruction. It's called hell. But there's a rescuer. He's got a life buoy that he wants to throw out to you. It's called salvation. And tonight, maybe you're far from him. Maybe you're playing church. But we're asking the question is, how is your relationship with him? Can you stand before him and say, I'm forgiven. I'm set free by the blood of the Lamb. So that's the question tonight. Not, do you watch YouTube clips and do you jump up and down? Do you clap? Or do you sing with the oral? It doesn't matter. It matters what's happening in your heart. If you found that rescuer of your soul, the lover of your soul, and his name is Jesus. We're going to ask you to give us 3 minutes, but will everybody stand without anybody leaving? Because this is an opportunity. We're going to give people a chance to respond to God's invitation for his life.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.